Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Oh, it's a Valentine's Day special full of love. Therefore, Barry is out. Nick is in. Quick Nick is in the co-pilot chair today. Jong is behind the glass doing a little OT for us before he heads up the blitz. And we are going to set the stage now for what could be a battle royale. It has been an ongoing, I say, feud. We love our listeners, as you know, and it's been very participatory ever since I got in this chair and we started doing what we do here at ESPN 97.5 with a great opportunity. And we've always stressed how it is a user-friendly show.
Yes.
And for participatory reasons, the more that the audience participates,
yep,
the better the show goes.
100%.
We know a lot of you by first name. We know a lot of you by your Twitter handles. And we communicate with you on a regular basis. Two of the guys that have driven the bus, so to speak, Drayon290, who is a legend amongst us, with his zingers and his ability to try and slide one by us from time to time. Not in the five hole, Dre. And then we've had the luck and the circumstance of Jong, I believe. Do you get credit for hiring Trey?
He was a listener, and we needed some interns, so we asked for some, and he volunteered.
Okay. So I'm going to blame you at the same time for bringing him into the fold. But Trey has been a guy that we have highlighted ever since, especially with Barry and I, but even with Trap, we've highlighted the fact that there is the pros and the cons. For every positive, when you think it's going to go over the top for him, there's a negative. But that overall, he's a great dude.
100%.
Yeah.
Definitely has earned his way around here, because you always tend to see him participating on various programs here on the network, whether it's on our sister network, SB Nation, or on ESPN 97.5. So, yeah, he's definitely one of the favorite guys. It's a guy I've said before, it's like you just want him around to annoy you. Like if you're really bored, if you just... You do not want a dull time in your life. Bring in Trey, because he's gonna say something off the wall to entertain you.
I mean, John, you had him as a participant in your pyramid.
Yes,
your game show.
How did he do?
He doesn't disappoint. Yeah, how was he on that?
Him and AJ won.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
All right. So then he's, you know, and again, he's a smart kid and he has intelligent tendencies. But for every one of those, just when you think it's safe to get out of the water, the Jaws fight back in a negative way, and then there's chum in the water.
Which is why this is going to be a huge test, because we've always given him credit about being super witty on Twitter.
Right.
And Twitter affords you the time of coming up and, you know, collecting your thoughts and coming up with something clever to tweet. But now we're going to be on the air.
Or you can do Google, Twitter, Reddit searches.
Ooh, see, I wasn't going to go down that road.
That pop up from time to time, which we caught him. We had to kind of, and Dre, just so you know, we had to pull out of our own back room where we do production.
Yep.
Because Trey was using us as a sample audience, trying to see what he was going to fire at you. And we said, see, you can't, we can't be your testers.
Yeah, see, and if Barry, you know, co-host of the show, Barry Laminack, who's letting me sit in for him, if he knew what Trey did and what he used, how he got some of his jokes, or that one joke he says, because apparently it was just one joke that he stole.
He
right?
claims. But I started calling him the Carlos Mencia of this battle because of the fact that he was looking to steal.
Yeah.
With no credit given.
You know what? We might be giving Dr. Drayon 290 material, though.
That's
might be unfair.
Right. I'm pretty sure just looking at Trey, there's plenty of material to be had without us having to offer anything up.
Yeah.
Well, so here's how it all started. So we were doing a remote at Trailer Wheel and Frame one day, and it was me and Travis Johnson and Keenan McCardell.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, out of the blue, and Nick, you were back here, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, what seemed like friendly banter turned into a very sideways. They're both Cowboy fans.
Yep.
But yet, Dre saw Trey's picture and said, "As much as I appreciate something to the effect of, as much as I appreciate he's a Cowboy fan, when you see sweet cheeks here that looks like a Girl Scout cookie guy, he kind of has to wonder." That opened the floodgates.
And it just spun off into something that I don't think any of us expected.
No.
We just went on our Twitter timeline and just noticed all these notifications between him and Dr. Dre, or not Dr. Dre, Drayon 290, just go back and forth. They had the opportunity to kind of collect their thoughts because it was on Twitter.
Right.
And they were very witty from what we saw on Twitter. This is a different challenge.
Yeah, we're going to keep the clock running. John's got a clock. We're going to keep the clock running between the opportunities, so to speak, that they get to take pot shots at each other. So we're going to keep it around 15 seconds. We'll decide 15 or 20 seconds. But we're gonna kind of open it up, but we're also going to keep a close eye on it. So you have to kind of be able to freestyle, and you got to go quick.
I don't know how long this is going to last. So we're going to give them, 15 seconds each, and then how long are we going to go about this? Maybe three minutes, however.
Three rounds, Jung? Probably three rounds?
Well, we'll see how it goes, yeah. I guess.
And so we'll see how it goes, and we'll just set it up and let them go back and forth. Now, what's also important, it's imperative to mention, this is not real life. We've always talked about this. This is just a spinoff of sports. So at the end of the day, which I was really pleased about a while back, these guys were able to so-called shake hands and make up because there wasn't any hard feelings. There was just some good, hard one-liners that were going back and forth. So that's what we're hopeful for again today, that these guys can like take the gloves off and go but not be drawing blood and putting people in respiratory arrest.
And we're getting texts. I haven't really checked Twitter, but we're getting texts, and people are looking forward to the segment. So, 713-780-ESPN if you want to chime in.
Yeah, we've had several people that wanted to bump Mario Elie off the show or at least delay him just so that we could get to the Trey and Dre
nonsense
Valentine's Day
crazy
massacre.
Kiss there of death, it is. Mario Elie.
It's the Valentine's Day massacre. It's Trey and Dre. That's what we're headed
for. The Valentine's Day massacre.
Yeah.
I like that.
So there you have it. All right, we get T-shirts and sell them. I think that it'll sell. I think there's a lot that we could sell with this. So we've got that kind of geared up and ready to go. So if you guys have thoughts and or you want to follow them, and by the way, let's get that out of the way too, because you can follow them because they're great, great follows in terms of what they do, like tweet. And by the way, Trey does, his dream job would be to where he gets a show where people just call up mad at him.
Which I thought was really interesting. He just wanted people to call up and just yell at him and just for random reasons, yep, is what he said, right?
Yep. And there are days where I feel like he could annihilate them. And then there are days I feel like people would I would just feel very sorry for him.
Well, the good thing about Trey is I've seen him take the L pretty good. Like he'll admit, like, you know what, I got nothing for you. And I think he's done that before with Dre on 290. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah, because I thought we were done with this. I thought Trey had retired. He was like, you know, first of all, after he came out with, and I don't want to say came out of the closet, he just came out yesterday with he was asexual. No idea where that came from. Threw that out there.
I'm not sure he knew where that came from.
And I think we found that out today, that he didn't even know where that came from. Sometimes he talks out of another orifice, and we're not talking about the one with teeth and a tongue. And it can get him in trouble. It also can make him look very good, and also can make you scratch your temple and go, what the hell was that?
What did he just say? But nonetheless, he does do pretty well.
So you can follow these guys at Dr. Dre on 290. That's Dr. Dre on 290. At Dr. Dre on 290. And if you want to follow Trey, it's at Trey, T-R-E-Y, loves, L-U-V-S. Trey loves Oasis, like the group Oasis. And you follow those two guys, you're going to be entertained. And you can interact with them because they're normally pretty darn good about answering and talking and doing other things.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, they're definitely a good follow because they're going to go back and it's going to be cool at the end of it, but they're going to be, you know, they're not going to let up when they do go at each other. So it's definitely an interesting feud for sure.
All right.
It's no KD Westbrook feud, but it's a feud.
It could be. You never know. But I'm not looking at Trey to be Westbrook.
No, I don't think you could.
Trey's kind of like the happy-go-lucky assassin, whereas if Dre wants to and he puts you in the scope and you're in the crosshairs, he's the sniper he's going for the jugular sometimes. So, I wish we could have just the whole recap of the past because Girl Scout cookies became desserts. Moms were involved.
Yep. Wives, I think, were involved.
Moms, wives, anatomy.
Yep.
There were pretty much not a lot of boundaries.
I do have both phone calls from earlier this morning.
And so why don't we do that? Why don't we bring in both phone calls from this morning just to kind of get you prepared for the Valentine's Day massacre?
Let's get Trey in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Trey, you got a weather report?
Yeah, hey, Granado. The weather is kind of bad right now. It was raining a lot this morning, but kind of like the wife of Dre on 290, it dried up pretty quickly.
Oh.
Now I'm done.
Oh, my
Trey,
God.
Trey, you stayed on hold for 25 minutes?
That's carrot cake.
And then this was Dre's response.
Hey, this is Dr. Dre.
Oh. Dr. Dre!
Uh-oh.
What's up, D? What's up, Dr. Dre?
Yeah, apparently I made a trip to Trey's mom's last night, and it, you know, like she is still wet outside. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, she's that. Is that good, Dr. Dre? Does your wife know that you're cheating
mom?
On her?
With Carrot Cake's mom, I can't even imagine what she looks like if Carrot Cake came out of there.
And I brought her the early Valentine's presents, and I did order her a truckload of the Girl Scout cookies that Trey hooked us up with. You know, got a discount. I delivered it myself.
You delivered her Girl Scout cookies?
Or Sean would say pound cake?
Pound
cake? Is that
cake?
What you did?
Is that what you delivered?
Wait, Dre, hold
Sarah
on.
Sarah Lee?
Man.
So that was kind of a round two, because round one, like I said, was a few Fridays ago. And it got all of those different topics involved.
Dr. Dre has got some work to do. Dr. Dre on 290 has got some work to do after that call.
Yeah, though. That call was not his best effort.
Yeah, that definitely puts Juggalo Trey in the positive light, not him, right?
Right.
Is
I
that
would
fair
agree.
To say?
Yeah, I would say if that was round one for today's Battle Royale, and we'll clean the slate, but I would say from a voting audience, if we were going to say what the card looked like after round one, I would say 15-13 and probably in favor of Trey on that.
So a little bit more pressure on Dr. Dre on 290. However, we did give him some ammo, so everything balances out.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, if there's a favorite, guys, which way are you leaning on this one? I mean, who's the favorite and who's the champ? And who's after the title?
I would say Trey is the champ right now, right? I think he's the defending champion right now, right?
I think he looks good today, but I think the last time, I'm pretty sure that Dre...
Oh, on the Twitter about, yeah,
Dre
he did look
strong.
Bad. Yeah, he did finish strong. Yeah. That's true.
So Dre was like Rocky, you know? He was taking the lumps early, but at the end of the day, he yo-Adrian himself into a win.
Yep.
All right, so without further ado, we're going to head a break. We're going to take care of business, and then we're going to get these guys all set up and ready to go so that we can get at least three rounds, if not more, between Dre and Trey in the Valentine's Day Massacre right here on ESPN 97.5. Oh, and before we get to that, let me tell you about Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. I have been pumping this for quite some time, and I tell you guys, it's a phenomenal program, and it's all because of people like you. The Cars for Kids program is a program where you're looking around your driveway, in your garage, out in the field. You know there's an eyesore out there somewhere. It's a clunker. It's a car. It's an RV. It's a motorcycle. It's a trailer. It might not be running. It doesn't matter. You wanted to get rid of it, but it takes a lot of effort. Then you got to take it somewhere and take out an ad in the paper. All that's taken care of. Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, all you got to do is pick up the phone, 713-225-4226, or you log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Let them know what you got. The deal is done. They fill out the paperwork. They come in with a tow truck, and they take it away. And the best news of all is you get a tax deduction while they get the vehicle, which they turn into resources that they can offer kids that might not have done the right thing with the first shot at an education. Now they're back in school, and they need some of these resources in order to be successful. Eyeglasses, book money, bus fare, warm meals, all things Houston Cans Cars for Kids program provide for these kids so that they can get a second chance at an education and make something of themselves right here in the Houston community. It's all because of you, and you make it work. You feel great about it at the end of the day because you help make a difference. HoustonCarsForKids.com or call 713-225-4226. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
Dissing women, were you abused as a child, scared to smile, they called you ugly? Well, life is harsh, hug me, don't reject me, I'll make records to disrespect me, blatant or indirectly. In 88, you was getting chased to your building, call it
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, so the accounting firm of Lee, Blank, and Sharara got together during the break, and after a contest was waged to find out who'll start, Trey won. Now, I don't know if this is a sign of things to come or not, but Trey actually tried to defer to the second half and was going to kick, and we didn't allow that. So, Dre, welcome to the show. Glad to have you. You are on phone, and you are ready
What's
to go.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, my
let's
man?
Let's do this.
Let's do this. All right, and let's. And Trey is sitting here next to me to my right, across
Hello.
From Nick. Trey has already chimed in like a doorbell. All right, so... You guys realize, let's just be clear, this is all about love. We're not trying to have like seriousness in terms of like hatred after. When we're done, we're going to shake hands and go away. But at the same time, we've had fun with this before, so we might as well do this on Valentine's Day. Agreed?
Yeah, I got no problems
with
Trey.
Yeah, sounds fair. Just keep his left hand off your lap there. I mean,
Dre, I've got a safe distance between us and a chair.
so I'm good.
You're fairly familiar with left and right hands, so I'm sure you
are
would
we starting
have
already?
More.
I know. I'm saying. I
so that's the precursor. It looks like we had an opening act, but I think we pretty much have what
they're
we needed.
They're ready.
All right. So you guys take the robes off. The gloves are on. First will be Trey with a rebuttal followed by Dre. And I believe, John, we set the clock at a randomly 15 seconds?
Yeah, 15 seconds.
15 seconds. We have a bell?
Do have a bell.
All right. So when you hear the bell, Trey, come out swinging, and I turn it over to John.
You'll hear tick, 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 and that's when that's your sign to go.
Okay.
Well, it's not ironic that Dre on 290 is on the phone lines. As we know, we had Mario Ellie, so that makes two that got balls to the face. Dre on 290, his Twitter name kind of makes sense if you omit the R and switch up the E and the D.
Okay, that was an effort.
He was ready, though. I mean, I give him credit for that. I mean, he was like, right when he heard that.
You know he's done some prep.
Yeah.
But I think delivery is part of the message. You can have the greatest pizza in the world, but if you trip on the way up the front stairs, it's a problem.
I'm okay with a little pre-written stuff.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Dre.
All right, so the rebuttal begins now.
All right, so you know what? What do Walmart, Michael Jackson fans, and Trey have in common? The little boy's pants are half off.
Oh, boy.
All right, we're starting off a little slow.
Yeah, so each guy go back to your corner, spit some water, and get a new mouthpiece because you got to come out better than that. I mean, let's just say it's the feeling out process, early rounds. So now we flip for round two, correct, John? So now we're going to go to Dre first, followed by rebuttal by Trey. Round two shall commence when the ticking of the clock starts with Dre on 290.
Say when.
Go.
Yeah, Trey, I found your mama on Sweet Cheeks RS last night on SweetCheeksRS.com. Excuse me. She's in the press ham page.
And the rebuttal from Trey goes something like this.
Earlier today, Dr. Dre on 290 stated he would give my mom a discount on Girl Scout cookies. Well, the only discount he's giving my mom is his five-finger discount while he's thinking about my mom in his head.
And it's getting better.
Let's keep it rolling.
So now it's warmed up. Okay, so now we return to Trey first, Dre second, as we head to round number three as we get to pivotal rounds. And go.
Trey, we all know you're a trucker, and we all know that times can get lonely while you're on the road. But it's okay. I take comfort in knowing you have that extra chromosome to keep you company on those drives.
It's not bad.
Only he started by calling him Trey, which is him.
Yeah.
I said Dre.
We're going to the review.
Okay, go to the review. Trey. I said Dre. Shut up, John.
Wow. And you're not exactly winning over the judges with this one. The panel has already been offended. All right, Dre, you get to respond in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, speaking of sweet cheeks, Trey, I love your cheeks because it looks like I stick slapped them.
He can't say that.
You can't say that on the radio. You're automatically disqualified.
There might
just
be a
like
DQ
your love life.
Now,
I didn't know if he said stick.
Now, John, are we DQing him or what's the ruling on that?
I thought he said penis slap, didn't he?
It's very possible.
I said stick.
Yeah, I thought like he said stick.
Okay.
Slap.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought
yeah.
he said stick.
So it was a hockey
slap,
term.
So it's all good.
It okay, was a hockey okay. term, like a cross check to the boards. All right, so I think we can go a couple more rounds on this. So where we were was Trey just started that round. So this one, was that right, or do you get this one?
I think it's my turn.
You start this one?
Yes.
All right. So in 3, 2, 1.
How do we all know that Dre on 290 has a big date coming up? There's a big wheel in his parking lot. You're a pedophile.
Okay, okay, that was
you
after.
Have to explain your joke.
Yeah, that was a bit after the bell too. All right, and Dre, your rebuttal in 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so you want to talk about transportation? Well, your mama's so fat when she hauls ass, they take her in two loads.
Wow, 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 wow! Sorry, I forgot we were in fifth grade.
All right, wow. And it gets better and. Without further ado, Dre, in 3, 2, 1, go.
Who's up?
You, go.
Oh, man. Well, I got to say, Trey kind of struggles, you know, when he's starting to juggle. he doesn't drop the ball.
Speaking of dropping the ball,
you know who struggles? Your wife. Anytime you try to get with her.
He didn't even need the clock. He's coming out swinging. He smells blood, and he's got you in the corner, Dre. It's getting ugly. All right, so final round. Final round. We're going to let Trey go for the jugular and start in 3, 2, 1.
Dre, I composed a poem since it's Valentine's Day. Roses are red, violets are blue. You better go and hide, bitch. I just wrecked you.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. All right.
Intern Trey.
And with a chance to throw the haymaker.
Wow.
Coming out of the corner in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. Roses are red, violets are blue. Trey, how about what I did to you and your mom?
All right.
And that was not good.
No, well, Dre, you did not finish strong, and I'm afraid without even going to the...
He never finishes strong. Just ask his wife.
Ugh.
And he doesn't finish strong either.
This is like he's on the
canvas. She doesn't even finish.
He's knocked out, and you're still kicking him and throwing punches.
Dre, you got to throw some punches, man. We're going to go to break.
I wasn't even supposed to be here today. A lot like your wife, Jong never lets me get off.
All right. And on that note, I'm going to ask both fighters to shake hands. And
we love you, Dre. You're a good man. You keep trucking. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't have our KY jelly and our toys for that your wife uses when you're on the road.
All right. This is where we get to the point where the good becomes where he has the chance to just like become legendary, and then he starts getting stuck too. We appreciate your time, Dre. We're going
to
have the vote after the break. Yes, sir. Get back to work. We're going
to
have the vote after this. We'll have Jong and Nick chime in. I think we probably have some of those tidbits saved. Trey, thank you very much. Now you can return to your duties. After the break, you guys can chime in as well. On Twitter, you can text us, you can call us, and we can get everybody's court of opinion before we decide the winner right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Corey Brewer, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So, yeah, we probably should have Michael Buffer introduce that battle, the Valentine's Day Massacre. But
I think we had a clear-cut winner.
Yeah, I don't think that
unfortunately
there's...
Unfortunately for Dre on 290.
Yeah, I don't think it's much to argue, and I'm a little disappointed. I actually, because of the fact that Dre was so strong... On the initial Twitter back and forth back in the day,
yeah,
I thought he was gonna start swinging haymakers early and get him on the ropes, but it was the other way around from the get go. Our man Trey came to play.
Yeah, I mean he was prepped, I think, and not only that, he was kind of going at it before the game even started. I mean, he was just throwing jabs that. You know, I felt like he was giving away material early. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't think he wanted to do that, but he did. And then it kind of slowed down a little bit, but then he finished strong at
the
end.
Both guys started out a lot slower than I expected.
100%.
With time to prep. I was a little disappointed in round one, but I thought that from that point on, you know, if Dre is Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed, I just don't think he did enough crunches, and I don't think he ran on the beach hard enough because I don't think he prepped – and was ready for the barrage that he was going
to
take.
And we're seeing that on the text line. Trey gets the win. That's from the 215. One guy, Dre is banned from the phone lines. That's from the 936. So we're getting some calls, some texts all over. But, I mean, look, it was fun. It got rekindled, I think, on John and Raheel's show. And we were trying to bring it back. And, you know.
I think it works for a Valentine's Day massacre.
100%.
Okay, John, let me ask you this, too, because what the other thing that I think we should do before I get your feedback on this is, so I am Steven Tizzino said, I could have done better than that, okay? And that follows up my man, who's actually a friend of mine, Casey, who said, you're reaching with those two scrubs on the show. Those two see better jokes in the shower. What I'm seeing now is almost like a fight club. We can set up Twitter battles where, like, Casey has to take on Steve. Or, like, El Jefe, who's going to be the Switzerland always. But
you know, we would have guys go against other guys, and then it ends up being where we have another battle royale. We could do it on Twitter because obviously on air it gets to be a little bit tough to deal with unless right. they're prepared. But I can see kind of a spin-off Fight Club out of this because a lot of people think that they could do better, but they don't realize the pressure when the red light is on and you guys are on the air, and it's a different story.
When the red light is on and the microphone is in your face, you got to be prepared, and it is tough. It is real hard. It's something that we got to do all the time, every day for 3 hours, and it's really not that easy. So we commend Trey and Dr. Dre on 290 for participating because a lot of people wouldn't.
Jong, okay, so Nick gives the battle win to Trey, and you your feedback.
It started off really slow for the both of them, but I think Trey kind of picked it up, and he had more ammo in the chamber than Dre did, because at one point, Dre kind of like was like, I have nothing.
Yeah. Well, that roses are red, violets are blue comeback was probably the biggest indicator that he ran out of material.
Yeah, at the end, when he was in the corner on the ropes, I thought that he would try one more haymaker, just even if it was a little bit, I was bracing for the worst, thinking it might even cross the line a little bit. But instead, it was basically like an echo of Trey's.
I saw what you were
Trey's
doing. You're trying to give him another chance.
Yeah.
You're trying
I was
to throw
trying
him
to
another
give him
bone.
One, one, you know, the Rocky scenario, right? I want to give him the one last haymaker.
You weren't trying to make him look bad. You were just trying to give him one last opportunity to get a crack at Trey, and he just didn't, you know, he just didn't capitalize.
He just put the booty on the canvas, and it was over. So I think it's consensus here that Trey wins the Valentine's Day Massacre. For that, Trey, you have to wear a belt from now on when you come in the studio, because not only the dress code, but the we're tired of seeing the, shall we say, the mountaintop horizon peeking out of the back of your jeans. So at that standpoint, he does have to get a belt. You know, he can try and expense it. It's probably going to go over like a fart in church. But at the same time, we appreciate the participation. And basically, if we look at Twitter, I think most people agree.
Yeah.
El Jefe wants to do a Twitter poll. So if you want to join the poll, go to at Mr. Josh Like a Boss, MR Josh Like a Boss, and he will set up a poll and you guys can vote in. But I think that from the judges, the cards are in. And I think in a landslide, Trey wins the first annual Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah, so, they'll be more prepared next time if we do circle back to it. You never know. Because we didn't. It kind of took a life of its own. We didn't even know we were going to bring this back.
Right. And it did. And, you know, and it started, actually, we created the monster at Trailer Wheel and Frame, but it kind of had a life of its own that got recreated this morning. So props to Raheel and John. And John coming up with the nickname Carrot Cake wasn't bad for a guy that looks like Carrot Top's illegitimate child.
There's a couple of mean texts going at Trey on the text line right now. I'm not going to say all of them, but there's some hate going on Trey right now, even though we kind of anointed him the winner.
Yeah, Steve said last two rounds, pretty bad by Dre. Ike said two consecutive sweeps for Trey. He said he felt like Trey won every round. Round four, Steve thought was a wash, which I thought after Dre kind of faded quickly, I thought Trey didn't have to say anything and probably would have won round four.
Yeah, he could have just stopped right there at that point. He didn't really have to finish. He could have just, but I think he was enjoying it. At first, And also, when he first started, you felt like he was a little anxious, and he kind of rushed his delivery a little bit, but then he kind of settled and calmed down.
So. That's just like a child going through puberty. I mean, sometimes you can't rush greatness, you know, but you don't realize that at the time because you're so excited that you're on the air in this situation. So with that being said, okay, the first annual winner of the Valentine's Day Massacre goes to our man, Trey. El Jefe is going to try and do an Insta poll on Twitter. So if you guys want to chime in and actually vote, we'll get a percentage. And also, and if we do have a rematch, we'll do this obviously with Barry as well, because Barry was the man that kind of had the rules for all of this.
Yeah.
And set it
El Jefe kind of wants to take some credit for initiating this. Apparently he's the one who...
Yeah, and El Jefe always wants to give himself credit when he's El Jefe. When he's Josh on the phone, he fails miserably like Trey does on a Saturday night. So we've got that all taken care of. El Jefe is driving around in his squad car right now trying to get that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to kind of reset the show. We're going to step away and take care of some business. When we come back, there's plenty of sports news to be talked about. We talked about some of it with Mario Elie. Some of it we didn't. Some of it we want to talk to you about. Like, why isn't Houston a college basketball town? Because if they were, everybody would be talking about two of the games that were on last night. Instead, crickets chirping.
Yep.
Trees falling in a forest.
And there's been some good games, and I'm guilty. I'm one of those guys, being a guy who was, you know, born and raised in Texas. I'm kind of guilty of not watching enough college basketball, but it is something about Houston that just, I don't know, they just don't find that interest.
They don't find interest in college basketball. It's crazy, but they love college football. And then, Jong and Nick, I want you to chime in as well, because it looks like it's a possibility, and I have questions for both of you if it does. Colin McGregor and Floyd Mayweather look like they may actually be finding a way to get this thing done.
Yep.
And we can talk about that as well. We want to hear from you guys. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter or text or call the show. We are here until 4, ESPN 97.5. You won't have to ask if I'm still there. 'Cause as the time turns the page, my love won't. ESPN 97.5. I'm not gonna write you a love song.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Grant for three. Here come the Jayhawks. Mason will drive it with the left hand. What a terrific drive right there by Mason. And a Bill Self timeout quickly called. With he was unbelievable. Oh, turns out this. Mason can't. It's a three-point game. Well, it's a big, big time possession.
Brown for three.
Yes! Brown for three. Yes! Somebody's going to step up for West Virginia.
Pass his pocket pick back.
Good play right there. Crosses over.
Devontae Grant for three. West for three. Mason's got the loose ball. That'll do it.
All right, so in case you missed it or you're a Houstonian, because Houstonians seem to have little to no interest in college basketball, you missed one hell of a night in college hoops on the tube last night. I happened to be watching. Nick was dialed in. The highlights you heard were from a miraculous comeback by the Kansas Jayhawks as Rock Chalk, and I know that my man Freddie D later tonight will be ecstatic, as the Jayhawks came back from the depths of the dead to beat West Virginia.
Yep.
And Nick, you're going to kind of recap that one a little bit. And then the game before that was maybe even better, dare I say, but an overtime thriller at the Carrier Dome between Syracuse and Louisville.
Louisville.
But let's start with, boy, those Kansas Jayhawks. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was the number three Kansas Jayhawks versus, I believe, the number nine West Virginia team. And you know, at the end in that second half, at the end of the game, there it very much looked like Kansas was out. But you see a slow comeback. I think it was a 14-point deficit.
Yep, 14
in the last 3 minutes of regulation, and they were able to make that. And you know, they're starting to make arguments out there for Bill Self being a Big 12 Coach of the Year. And this is one of the arguments he's going to be able to make for himself because of this huge comeback.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, look, Frank Mason III was the leading scorer for Kansas. But the story here is to come back from trailing West Virginia by 14.
Crazy.
And figuring out a way to at least force overtime, as Mason was the reason why they got to OT, and then getting two threes in the extra session and being able to finish off a West Virginia team that I think for all intents and purposes on the road thought that they had gone into Fog Allen Fieldhouse and pulled the upset or one of the big upsets of the year. And again, kind of like Drayon 290 in the final round, they were just stunned when they hit overtime.
Yeah, they did real well in overtime, and I expected it to be an even higher scoring game because at one point you started seeing stretches in the game where they were just knocking down everything, but then there were some turnovers late in the game by West Virginia that really, really hurt them, and the final score was 84-80. But yeah, I mean, it was a really good game, and it kind of brings up the question why, you know, the city of Houston, you and I were talking about this before the show, why the city of Houston is just not tuned into college basketball as much as they should. I mentioned the Midwest being a way, you know, it's just the Midwest has just embraced that sport from day one, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, East Coast too, because of Philly and New York and Boston. And
Philadelphia,
you know,
is obviously one I shouldn't miss. But yeah, I mean.
And why is that? I mean, look, maybe is it, and John, you can chime in too, and you're a U of H guy, but look, your boys down there, They're doing some things with Kelvin Sampson, and yet that doesn't seem to matter either. Is it because Rice and U of H just haven't been good in so long that people just kind of yawn at college basketball and then they don't stay interested nationally? Or I mean,
I don't think so. I think it's because this is a big city and you do have the pro teams, and the Rockets are playing really well, and you have a guy in James Harden that's in a contention for MVP, mm-hmm. and you have the Rockets that are in their third seed in the West.
Yep.
And I mean, you have a contender here in town, and the Cougars haven't really played anybody. And that dump that they're in right now, Hoffines, is not a place that you want to be.
So you think it'll change when they get the upgraded facilities?
I don't think so. As long as the Rockets are good. And I'm going to say this too. If the Texans were a legitimate title contender, mm-hmm. I don't think the H-Town takeover happens.
Really?
I think we'd be talking about them, but I don't think that it grows as much as it did.
It's interesting.
It's a good point.
It's a good point because the Houston fan base is very easily distracted by hype, by particular players, by guys like J.J. Watt, who obviously steals a lot of the spotlight here in town, even when he's injured and he's not playing. So, yeah, I think the Houston fan base is certainly easily distracted. I don't know if that's a good excuse, but, you know, it's just the way it is.
I remember when I first got to town, and Rice was playing the likes of UConn when they had All-Americans from Charlie Villanueva and right down the line. Then they'd play Utah, and they had Andre Miller and Michael Doliak and Keith Van Horn.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm walking into what I expected would be a raucous, sold-out gym, and I'm buying a general admission ticket, and I'm sitting in the first three rows, and I'm watching guys that are going to end up playing in the NBA.
Yeah.
And I'm going, why? And then I remember Kentucky coming in to play U of H. And I thought, well, Bill Worrell has season tickets on the baseline. If I can't get those, I'm probably going to be screwed and just get a ticket and be somewhere up high. And John, like you said, look, it's not the greatest facility anymore. It's outdated. But at the same time, I walked into a game in which Calipari brought in some of the highest-ranked teams that have ever walked into Hoffines in the last 20 years, and I walked right down into the first, you know, into the first four rows. And I just, you know, I understand there's a student section. I understand there's a lot going on. But as sports fans in this town, when a team like that rolls in, you would think people want to – look, even if you don't want to see the home team, you want to see the talent that is coming in to take on the home team.
Yeah, I think the other struggle is, for some reason, it seems like in college basketball, the popular – who's popular are not necessarily the players. You have like two, three, maybe even four or five really popular players in college basketball, but for the most part, the coaches get most of the spotlight in college basketball, in my opinion. I feel like they're the guys that, I mean, you look at the Calipari's and Coach K's and the Bill Self's and Jim Boeheim and all those type of coaches. Those are the guys that get a lot of the attention. And then there's like maybe five, six, seven players, I want to say, if I want to stretch it a little bit more, that really get a lot of spotlight. And I think it's really hard for a fan base to appreciate them playing, even though we know, like Keith Van Horn, like some of these guys were going into some of these draft classes the NBA has had and that's gone through the University of Houston playing against their men's basketball team was pretty good. And yet, like you said, you can be sitting in the third row even though some of these great up-and-coming players are playing.
Look, they're talking right now that this draft coming up in the NBA is going to be one for the ages. It may end up being the greatest draft in NBA history, which is a lofty title to give because of some of the great drafts there have been in the past. But at the same time, that says so much. But it also says maybe a little bit to the point we're trying to make here, which is college basketball is harder to follow and stick with for these days and times simply because the guys are so one and done. You know, Duke wins a national championship, and the next thing you know, half their team is going to the NBA.
That's another problem.
And, you know, all these different teams, when you just start liking a player and you like the players on a team, and then all of a sudden, you know, even after a good season, they're going to jump ship, they're going to go get paid, they're going to go to the NBA, and it's harder to stick with them for as long because of the fact that they're not there as long as they used to be.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA tried. I mean, there was a time where you could, you know, if you were good enough and you were developed enough, you can go straight out of high school and be an 18-year-old playing in the NBA. They enforced the rule of having at least one season played in college basketball, and I think it's helped a little, but at the same time, you're right. You have 1 year if you can grow so much popularity. And if you really have that popularity, a lot of times you have that popularity for a reason. A lot of time in college basketball, it's because you're really good. So you're going to bounce and go to the NBA.
I'll say this. The game that I watched before that game was equally as good. It was Louisville, number 8 in the country, at Syracuse in the Carrier Dome, taking on the Orange. The Orange needing a win because they're trying to establish a resume to get into the tournament.
Right.
They were in it the entire way, much like what Kansas did. At the end, finding themselves down 8 points with less than 3 minutes to play a couple of times, they clawed, scratched, got all the way back to even, forced overtime. Louisville's best player fouls out. Looks like Syracuse is going to win the game. And again, Louisville puts a barrage on in overtime. And it's led by the Ollie character from Hoosiers. I mean, it was the story amongst all stories that I think people missed last night. So Dick Vitale discovered this kid. There's a kid named Ryan McMahon. He was playing in Florida, where Vitale lives. He was trying constantly to find a Division I scholarship or any kind of scholarship. No one was showing him any love. Vitale went and saw the kid play, said, don't worry about the fact that he'll never make a two for you, but he's going to make threes, he's going to make free throws, and he's going to get you wins. Everybody was kind of like, yeah, ho-hum. Patino takes a chance at Louisville, offers the kid a scholarship. Last night, he checks in. In his last two games, he had made 1 3. He had averaged less than 5 minutes a game. He checks in the biggest moment in the game and proceeds to nail a three, get fouled going to the basket for an and one, in which he got his first two-point basket of the season. And then to ice the game, he went to the line with everything riding on it and dropped two free throws to get the win for Louisville.
Good for him. I mean, this is the time to grow your stock in college basketball, because this is the type of games and performance. We're 1 month out of March Madness. Mm-hmm. So these are the times where you're going to see scouts and people really looking at what you could potentially do for the NBA. So good for him, because like you said, he struggled to find his way in college basketball. I think he committed to Louisville in 2015, like you mentioned, when Dick Vitale noticed him. So yeah, I mean, good for him. And this is probably another reason why we're talking about why Houston is not interested, because a guy like this has a quick flash, you know, ups his stock, and then has to make his way into the NBA.
Yeah, so interesting there. Kind of shocking to me that there weren't more people talking about college basketball, but we've got some people now that do. Nick, I see you on hold. Not you, Nick, another Nick. And also Shay, you guys want to get in and talk a little college hoops. I love that. You know I'm a round ball guy, so we can talk some hoops. We can do a lot more. We got two in the books, one more to go, and what already has been a very entertaining show. Quick Nick joining me, Jung behind the glass, and you are always a part of the show with class. Please give us a call, give us a tweet, give us a text. We'll include you as well. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.